thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Team.
Wow, can you believe it? It's episode 85.
85, man. We've been doing this a long time. Consistency. Consistency is the key.
It's the key. Yeah, it's definitely the key. You know, I wish I could play the Mission Impossible music, man, because, you know, that's... If we thought about this like years before, it'd be impossible for us to reach this state. And we thought of it as something fun to do, and look at it.
Look at us now. We're running competition off of the air in the local markets. Shout out to John Thompson. We're just doing good things, man.
Yeah, and most definitely, and the reason why I mentioned Mission Impossible, because I just saw the movie, and I'm in love with Paula Patton. She's awesome. We need to get our game up. So I can meet her. So when I mean get our game up, I need to get famous. So this Urban Sports Scene thing needs to fly off the hook now.
2012, yeah, because the world comes to the end next year. Anyway,
what I hear,
So
Paula Patton, if you're on Twitter, I'm about to tweet you. Holler at me. I know you were Robin Thicke. It's all good, but I know I didn't introduce myself. I'm Wally, part of the Urban Sports Scene, my man.
Will T, what's going on? What's up, world?
Yeah, and also we're missing our other partner, great. Lee Mike extraordinaire, Mr. Ray Rogers. He's not here in the building, but we're thinking of him. And happy birthday to his daughter.
Happy birthday.
Well, let's jump into our tradition, the pregame.
Tradition.
Yeah, our tradition.
Okay.
You know, I'm just using your little terminology. A couple weeks ago, Andre Ward won the Super 6 championship beating Frotch. You saw the fight? What did you think about
Absolutely,
it?
Absolutely, I saw the fight. It wasn't that eventful of a fight. Andre Ward, he won in his typical fashion, just a very smart technical fighter. He doesn't get the notoriety that he deserves. The guy's very good, but as long as he keeps fighting on Showtime, he'll never get the notoriety that he deserves.
Quick question, pound for pound, where do you have him?
Pound for pound, I actually have him number 2. A lot of people gonna get mad. I actually have him behind Floyd Mayweather. Number 2, Andre Ward. And you know, if people who consistently listen to the show will know that a while back, while Floyd Mayweather was inactive, I actually had Andre Ward as the number 1 American fighter until Mayweather decided to get back in the ring and fight. Guy's ultra talented, former Olympian gold medalist. So,
and most importantly to me, he's very humble. Well, that's what I like about him. He's a humble kid. SOG, son of God. Andre Ward is awesome. I have him. I don't have him too. You know, still have Pacquiao Mayweather 1A, 1B. But I do have him. I do have him in that list, top 5 to me. You can't deny what he did in that tournament. You can't.
He beat the 6 top. Well, 6 of the top. I'm not gonna say the 6 top. 6 of the top super middleweight fighters. In a round robin style tournament, went undefeated,
and in a dominating fashion.
Dominating.
I mean, some people thought Frotch would give him some go, and he dominated Frotch. It wasn't even funny. Honestly,
it wasn't even. Frotch couldn't even get a glove on.
Yeah, and Frotch acknowledged that he couldn't do anything. And usually, you have boxers after the fights will state that they thought they won the fight, even though we all know that they didn't win the fight, but a boxer would come out and say it, like, this guy dominated me. There's nothing I can do about it. But what's next for Ward?
Supposedly a fight against Andre Durrell is next for him, or possibly a unification bout with Lucien Boutte. That's the fight that the boxing world wants to see, a unification fight with him and Lucien Boutte. So hopefully we get that by the second half of next year.
He fought Durrell, though, in the Super 6, right?
No.
He didn't fight
Durrell him? Durrell withdrew.
He withdrew. That's what happened. Okay. Yeah. Boutte, I would like to see that fight. I think that, you know, a fight that I would like to see is him. I know it's out there, but I would like to see him fight against Bernard.
Nah, they'll never fight each other.
Yeah, and Bernard has a lot of respect for him.
Bernard would never fight him at this point in his career. Bernard Hopkins knows that Andre was too slick of a fighter for him. A fight that I actually would love to see is him versus Sergio Martinez. If Sergio Martinez had the goal to step up to 168 and fight him instead of calling out guys in the welterweight division. But who knows?
I know, right?
Yeah,
trying
who knows?
He's worried about fighting
Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather. You know.
Yeah, I think he's funny trying to call out wanting to fight what's his name, Chavez Jr.
Yeah, I mean he's supposed to fight Chavez Jr.
Yeah, but I think that's just the class.
It's a total mismatch. Yeah. But it's a payday for him. It'll get his name out there.
Well, we mentioned Pacquiao, but we're going around is Lamont Peterson wants to see is on Pacquiao's list of possible contenders for the next fight. Good fight for either?
No, not a good fight for neither one. I just don't think the fight can get done just for economical reasons. Unless you're going to have the fight in D.C., which we know won't happen, just because Lamont Peterson doesn't have a following. Lamont Peterson doesn't have a big name, even though he has I don't think he beat Amir Khan.
I don't.
Actually, you know what's funny? Not to get go ahead. On subject. Actually, I was at the fight.
Yeah.
And then I actually watched a replay of it last night.
Yeah.
And I still don't think that Lamont Peterson.
Are you serious?
Absolutely.
It's okay. I'll say this. I've always said this. When I did the card, you know, when I was listing rounds, and things of that sort. When I was doing like my boxing to see who won each round.
Mm-hmm.
I had it in the draw because again I took away. But see, I took away the knockdown, and I took away
the two points.
The 2 points. So I had the draw. So anything I agree with you to a certain extent that Khan shouldn't have lost this title. I do believe it was a draw, but it's in D.C. So what you expect? That's how I look at it. It's dirty. What you expect?
Yeah.
Now in terms of Lamont Peterson, it's a bad move to fight Pacquiao. Yeah. I'm in like for me. I remember years ago, like when Fernando Vargas moved up to a different class of boxer, and he wasn't ready yet. And you can tell, I love Fernando Vargas. I thought he was a good boxer. He had good Olympic pedigree.
Mm-hmm.
He was a good amateur fighter, excuse me. And, you know, and even like his first, you know, his first 20 fights, he looked unbeatable. But you knew he wasn't ready to see the Trinidads of the world and even Oscar and folks like that. You knew he wasn't ready yet.
Right.
And so my fear is that, you know, I want Peterson to build his brand. Fight some people that the second level boxers get ready, get acclimated, beat those guys before you even talk about fighting a Pacquiao or Floyd Mayweather Jr.
Yeah, I told you, to me, with the best blueprint for him would be a rematch against Timothy Bradley, and then you always have that rematch against Amir Khan for another big payday.
Yeah.
Anyone who's followed Lamont Peterson, they know that about a year and a half ago he lost a very one-sided fight to Timothy Bradley.
Sure.
Timothy Bradley totally outclassed him. So to put him in the ring with Manny Pacquiao at this point, and don't get me wrong, I think that Timothy Bradley is a better fighter than Manny Pacquiao. from a skill standpoint, he's a more skillful fighter. Manny Pacquiao is by far more entertaining to watch.
He's a dirtier fighter, but yeah, go ahead.
Pacquiao is more entertaining to watch,
hey,
but
we can agree to disagree
on that one. Like I said, rematch against Timothy Bradley, then Amir Khan fight.
I don't have a problem with that. Him fighting Timothy Bradley or Devin Alexander, I have no problem him fighting any of those guys.
A Devin Alexander fight for him at this point would definitely be good. But Devin Alexander is currently. He's fighting in the welterweight division, 147. Lamont Peterson's at 140.
Mm-hmm.
It would be on paper. It would be a good fight for him, but just because both of them in different weight classes at this point, I don't think it'll really happen. But like I said, it'll be interesting to see his next step where he decides to go from here. You know, the world is his oyster now.
Yeah,
you know
build your brand.
That's build your brand.
Build your brand.
More fights in D.C. get you more. A loyal fan base in D.C. because you can't really blow up until you blow up in your own backyard. So, you know.
And it is a big city. It's one of the biggest. It's the capital of the United States.
The most powerful city.
Exactly. Corrupt things happen over here. Ask Khan. But yeah, let's move to college basketball. Georgetown Hoyas are now the 12th, are now 12th in the country. Do you think they deserve that slot?
Yeah, I'll say. Two impressive wins over Memphis. It's still very early in the season. They haven't even gone through the Big East schedule yet. To me, I had a number of questions about Georgetown this year.
Yeah, we all did.
I'm not going to say this number 12 slot solidifies them or anything like that. It's too early in the season for anyone to get excited. So,
no, like you said, Memphis beat Memphis twice. I think Memphis will be a tournament team. Though Memphis itself has had a tough schedule playing Louisville at Louisville. And competing against Louisville at Louisville, so give them credit when credit's due. I think it's the loss to Kansas was the one that attracted me to Georgetown. See, they were a better team initially when I saw them losing to Kansas, who everybody thought they would probably blow out Georgetown.
Right.
Georgetown lost by 4 points at Kansas in a neutral court in Maui, I believe it was Maui. And then they came, after that they beat Memphis at Maui. Then they beat Alabama on the road. Alabama had a winning had a heavy winning streak, and Georgetown went to Alabama and beat a good team in a hostile environment. So that's when I knew. Like, to me, I always say this, that when you go into an opponent's backyard and you beat them, to me, you're a legitimate team, you know. And I think out of everybody in the Big East, and I really mean this, all the good teams in the Big East, Georgetown has played the harder schedule and have beaten the harder teams in environments that any of those teams were struggling.
Absolutely, I totally agree. We agree on something.
Timothy Bradley and crap like that. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, they have one. They have had the toughest schedule out of all the teams in the Big East thus far. Syracuse being number one to me is a total joke.
Yeah,
they haven't played anyone outside of the notoriety of the outside of the scandal with Bernie Fine. Mm. That's essentially that's all that Syracuse has been. That's their only they've been known for this season. But it'll be interesting once we get into the Big East.
I totally agree.
The set portion of the schedule to see exactly who's legitimate and see who isn't.
Well, the Hoyas are playing Louisville tomorrow night, probably trying to get this upset, to hopefully get an upset for a local team up in the DMV. But what do you think? Do you think they can actually pull it off?
Absolutely. I think they have a very good chance to beat Louisville. Louisville, to me, they're a team that nothing really pops out at me. You know, of course, a Rick Pitino team, they always press. They're very good defensively. But this team, this current Louisville team, the way they're constructed, no one or nothing really pops out at me. So I think Georgetown has an opportunity to pull off an upset in the early part of the season.
Well, I watched the Louisville-Western Kentucky game, and they didn't look good at all. And Western Kentucky was under 500, and they were going into Louisville and were up for most of the game, for at least I think until like the last, they're up for the, at least with 5 minutes to go in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
So I think West Virginia competed with Louisville, which, you know, for a number 14 competing against a team that's under 500 going into your backyard is funny. Before then, I mean, the last three games they struggled. They struggled against Charleston, the College of Charleston. Mm-hmm. They struggled against Memphis, which I mentioned earlier, at their own home. So, like I said, this is a team that Georgetown, I think, that can go into Louisville if the hype doesn't get to them, if, you know, being on ESPN doesn't get to them. If they go in focus like they played against Alabama, they should be able to pull it out, I think. What they need to worry about is trying to keep Silva out of the lane. Dude can go. Like, as a point guard, dude can break you down and can finish around the basket. If they can contain him, I think the Hoyas have a good chance of winning the game. You know, so, but you had something to mention about.
I just heard on my way to the studio that Rick Pitino, actually Rick Pitino said that this will be his last contract and he plans to retire at the end of this contract in 2017, which to me doesn't make a lot of sense for you to say that now, because 2017 is like 5 years away. You never know what can happen in between now and then. So, you know, he might get another top recruiting class and be like, I want to stay.
Of course. Look at Joe Pa before all this other nasty stuff came out. You know, he used to get a decent recruit, like, I can coach. And he was the mascot of the team. He wasn't even coaching, but that's neither here nor
there. It wasn't funny.
Yeah, it really was.
Penetration State, baby.
Exactly. That's hilarious. Oh, my God. Pettis. Yeah, it's Pettis, right? Yeah. It's Pettis, right?
Yeah.
Pettis is hilarious. He's the man. That dude, that's his joke. We can't take credit for that. Yeah. His joke was like that. But we've finished done this, speaking about college basketball. We all know college basketball is always exciting, but the NBA's back. I'm hyped. I'm not going to lie. I thought, I thought that I'd be having a subdued attitude, but with the Chris Paul and Lob City and things of that sort, I'm kind of hyped. So when we get back, we're going to talk about the NBA and the NBA on Christmas Day as well, too.
Urban Sports Scene.
What should I do? Should I admit that I've made mistakes? Should I remind you that I've done this before?
Should I give you a history lesson?
What should I do? Should I tell you how much fun we had? So, this went well. Should I really believe I ruined my legacy? What should I do? What should I do? Should I have my tattoo removed? Want to see my shiny new shoes? Should I just sell shoes? Shiny new shoes? Or should I tell you? I am not a role model. Hi, Chuck. Seriously, what should I do? Should I tell you I'm a championship chaser? Did it for the money, rings? Should I be who you want me to be? Should I accept my role as a villain? Maybe I should just disappear. Should I stop listening to my friends? They're my friends. Should I try acting?
Just gotta deal with the heat, man. Be patient. After a while, the temperature drops and everything is free and easy.
Should I be writing this down?
Uh-huh.
Should I make you laugh?
Or should I read you a soulful poem? Shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. But still, like air, I'll rise.
Or should we just clear the deck and start over? Coming through here! What should I do? Should I be who you want me to be?
To listen to the show, visit www.waleo.podbean.com. Waleo is spelled W-A-L-E-O. We are on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search Urban Sports Scene. If you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. You can listen to us on the Sports Crib podcast show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Steeler Fan. The show is hosted by Doc Hancock and West Coast Steeler Fan.
All right, good, because I need my notes because I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
I need the outline because I don't know what's going on. I don't know what to say. You know, we are kind of scripted now. We're unscripted, but scripted in some type of way. If you hear the
we're like a reality TV show.
Exactly.
Except we have talent.
Yeah.
We have
exactly.
Talent. We're not the like, Kardashians.
Exactly. I was going to say the same thing.
We have talent.
I know. We're going to mention Kim Kardashian and her ex-lover, Chris Humphries, later because they played the
Wizards. Yeah, crazy story. Yeah,
go ahead.
I actually went to the Wizards game last night.
Oh, sorry for you.
Yeah, no, up 21, you lose by what, 2?
Oh, man.
But the crazy thing is, people booed Chris Humphries every time he touched the ball.
And why?
We all know why, but
I mean, like, what does he have to do with this?
Yeah,
area?
Exactly. People are lost.
Man, let me say this. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to insult anybody, but people are like, people are dumb. I'm sorry. Mind control is awesome.
Yeah,
like,
you people continue to watch that trash.
Yeah, and you're booing Chris Humphries. Oh, God. Lord.
He didn't do anything but have a great game. 21 points and 12 rebounds.
21-16.
Something like that.
Yeah. Oh, he's a beast. Don't get wrong. Don't
get
twisted.
He's a beast.
The Wizards can use somebody like him instead of Andre Blatch. Speaking of ours, you saw the games Christmas Day. Big games. What did you learn from the main teams playing on Christmas Day?
The Knicks are back, baby.
Okay, let's start with your
we
team.
We are back. Right, Carmelo, 17 in the fourth quarter. That's what we brought him in to do. Yes, I'm saying we. before you correct me or before you make
not.
A point.
Oh,
yes, the Knicks are back. One thing that scares me is the point guard situation. Shumpert, he went out. Tony Douglas, actually, his play is very inconsistent. It actually scares the you-know-what out of me. But, you know, it's all good. I think the Knicks are going to be one of those teams that contend for a top-five spot in the NBA. I mean, in the East, just because the way the East is. You know, you have Orlando. They look like they played Christmas Day also. They look like they took a couple steps backward. Chicago's going to be Chicago. The Heat are going to be the Heat. And to me, that leaves the opportunity for the Knicks to possibly get in the number 3 or 4 spot in the East.
All right, you the man now, man. You are the man. You really went off on your Knicks tangent. I had to take a phone call. One of my players we coach on our 14 under basketball team want to know when practice is. Just saying that I always got to remind them it's like the same time. But anyway, the Knicks, what I learned about the Knicks is pretty much absolutely nothing.
What we learned is you learned two things.
Tyson Chandler is a great shot blocker. I've always
known
that.
And we don't have a point guard.
You don't have a point guard. But everyone's like relying on Baron Davis to be like this guy. I like Baron Davis. Don't get wrong. I'm a fan of Baron Davis.
No, people are relying on Baron Davis and Mike Bibby.
To be the, like, but they're relying on an older Baron Davis to be young Baron Davis.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, but what I've learned is what I've always known. Carmelo Anthony is the most skilled offensive weapon in the NBA. I've always said it. You can put Kobe on his you can mention Kobe to me, and I'll say it again. Carmelo Anthony is the most skilled offensive player in the NBA. If it wasn't for Carmelo Anthony and his superhuman, Superman effort, the Knicks lose that game.
Absolutely.
And Carmelo Anthony, what I learned is that Carmelo Anthony is a great player. Now, my problem is, and I've always stated this, is that The problem isn't the personnel when it comes to the Knicks and their defense. It's not personnel. They brought in defenders.
No, it's just a will. You don't have a will to play defense.
Well, you call it will. I call it coaching. I D'Antoni doesn't coach defense. That offense isn't conducive to defense. I'm sorry. It is what it is. They always, every organization, like in Phoenix, they did the same thing. They brought in defensive players. They brought in defensive coaches who have good defensive terminology. That's why Alvin Gentry came into Phoenix, because he can coach defense. It's the offense. To run that offense, you will have to give up some good defensive principles. And that's the problem. And until the Knicks find a way to fix that, they will continue to struggle against the teams who do play good defense and who can score.
I'm not worried about that. Phil Jackson will be the next Knicks coach, and it will be Championship City, and you will not hear the end of my mouth.
Oh, that's what's up, man. But I'm going to go to Boston. What I learned, Boston impressed me.
What I learned about Boston is that Rajon Rondo is truly a franchise player.
I'm not going to lie to you. What I learned, I've bash Rondo on this show.
Yes,
I have.
Terribly.
Okay, and I can eat crow with the best of them. You know what I mean? That Rondo that I saw against New York, who wasn't scared to shoot a jump shot. I don't care if you miss a jump shot. This one thing. I don't care if you miss the jump shot. I need you to be confident, because you are a guard. You should be confident to shoot a in-between jump shot. You should be confident. You know, and he was confident. Like, that's the best game I've ever seen Rondo play. And it's not because of the assist. It's not because he dominated scoring 31. It's the confidence. You can see it. That point guard there is a point guard that I would actually consider. He's not better than Chris Paul, but I would consider trading for Chris Paul. Consider.
Oh, yeah. No, I totally agree with you. To me, I like I stated last season, Chris Paul is a once-in-a-generation point guard. To me, that's my opinion.
I agree.
That he's a once-in-a-generation point guard. When he's healthy, he just needs to take off. He needs to get leaner. He needs to take off some of that belt. Yeah,
he's
he
chubby.
Needs to take off some of the bulk. But if Chris Paul gets leaner and he continues to stay healthy, once in a generation point guard. But the Rondo we saw Christmas Day is a total. He's a cornerstone of your franchise, especially the way the Boston Celtics are constructed now.
And Bass. Oh yeah, Brandon Bass balled. Brandon Bass was the key pickup for him. I think he's an upgrade from Big Baby Glenn Davis.
Absolutely.
But let's move to Dallas. What did you learn about the Mavericks?
Who? They greatly miss Tyson Chandler.
Yes.
They miss JJ Barrera because they have no one who off the dribble can get into the lane and penetrate.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to make it work with Vince Carter and Delonte West. And all those other guys. I understand. I know what they're taking a step back to take two steps forward. I understand that. But just the way the team is currently constructed, I don't see another long playoff run for them.
Fair question. Do you think they make the playoffs?
They'll make the playoffs. They will not make a deep run. They probably won't get past the first round.
I made the bold statement. I don't think they're making the playoffs. I see that, like, from what I saw yesterday. Thank you, NBA, for free package. Free package. We only got it for 2 weeks, but I'm loving it. For what I saw yesterday, the Timberwolves are a lot better with Rick Adelman.
With Rick Adelman, I don't mean to cut you off, but Rick Adelman, he's a great offensive coach.
Exactly. What I saw from the New Orleans Hornets.
Eric Gordon.
Eric Gordon is a star. He's a star.
Yeah, that's why David Stern held out for him in that trade. He's a star.
So yeah, he's a star. That is a player that you can really build your organization around. With Eric Gordon, which you saw him make the winning basket against the Phoenix Suns,
mm-hmm.
they are better. I mean, as a whole, just because the talent inflection. Chris Kaman is going to play better for
him. Al Farouk Aminu. He'll get better consistently over time.
And you got bigs. You have two centers. You don't just have one. You have Emeka Okafor and Chris Kaman.
Who can play his natural position, which is the four in the NBA.
Exactly.
With Chris Kaman, and then you also take Jared Jack, who was
suspended because of the DUI charge.
Yeah, but he's a pretty good point guard when he isn't shooting the ball 20, 45 times a game.
Yeah, but Jared Jack's a good point guard. And then you have your backup of Gravis Vasquez that everybody knows from University of Maryland. That team is dangerous. So Dallas is in trouble. Don't get twisted. Dallas is in trouble. They have shown the least in front of any team in any team playing Christmas Day or any team playing at all so far this season. You got blown out in two nights by the Denver Nuggets last night.
Yeah, it's definitely gonna be interesting to see what happens with that team if they don't get one of the prize free agents like they're trying to say the salary cap to get, but to me, like I always say, cap space is the most overvalued concept in the NBA.
I agree. Let's move down. The Heat.
Impressive.
Very.
Very impressive. Very, very impressive. This actually looks, with a 66-game season, this looks like this may be the year that LeBron gets his title.
They looked impressive. I agree with you. My only fear is, that Denver, like, squashed Dallas. So I want to know now, it's like, all right, was Dallas just that bad, or were the Heat that good? So now I'm thinking to myself, like, they play Boston tonight. I want to see if they can, in Miami, which will be a hard feat for Boston to win that game. I already know. It's nothing that's, to go to Miami and win a game. The way the Heat played against the Mavericks, they're going to be on that, too. Momentum is a big thing. If they can do the same thing to Boston, what we saw against the Knicks looked good. The Knicks did look good, and Boston still hung on with, against the Knicks without Paul Pierce. If they can do the same thing to Miami, they play the same way against Miami. Miami still dominates that game. Then I'm gonna come out saying the same thing you just said. I need it to be proven. You know, I'm pro Miami. I want LeBron to get his ring. Right. Even if he gets his ring, I know there'll be some haters out there.
They say, "Oh, it's only 66 games." Yeah, exactly. Whatever. Yeah, so, the man got his ring.
Yeah. So, but that's the one thing I agree with you. Let's skip the Heat because I think we're in agreement with the Heat though. They did look impressive. The Lakers.
Mike Brown, sir. If they don't get Dwight Howard, Mike Brown will be a 2-year at max coach for the Lakers.
I'll say this. Let's be fair to the Lakers. You know, I hate Kobe. Let's be fair to the Lakers. We need to see them with Andrew Bynum. Okay. We need to see that.
I agree with that.
And if they still look, I won't say bad because against the Bulls, they had that game. If they don't look dominant, then we can say it.
Now, I'm not going to even say dominant. The thing with the Lakers is when they play a team that has not even a good point guard, but a speedy point guard, a guy who can get into the lane, get past his defender, and it's easy to get past any of the Laker point guard defenders, the Lakers are going to have a problem. They're going to have a big problem if they encounter a guy who can break down his guy and get into the lane and create shots for himself and create shots for others. Also, like you did say, Bynum's out another – three games?
That dumb foul.
Yeah, so we can't really, you know, I think we got to give an incomplete right now. We can't really assess them and come to a fair judgment on them until we see them with Bynum.
Let's go to the opponents that you just mentioned. You told me the fast guard, the Bulls. What did you learn about the Bulls? Because for me, real quick, what I learned about the Bulls is incomplete. They still look like kind of the same team.
They look like the same. And I told you, to me personally, a better fit for the Bulls would have been Nick Young because he's a guy who can create a shot for himself and create a shot for other people. To me, only Derrick Rose is the only guy who can create a shot for himself and other people on this team.
That's true. Luol Deng is more of an ISO play for himself, but not to get other people involved. He can create his own shot to a certain extent, but I know what you mean. It's not creative. It's not as creative as Nick Young. I think Richard Hamilton will work out, but, you know, due to the fact he can move without the ball. And he's a good mid-range shooter. Forget the threes. He's a good mid-range shooter. Mm-hmm. The first game, what I've learned is that even from with Thibodeau, he doesn't show that trust in Rip yet. Because it worked out, don't get me wrong, but he was playing Brewer at the end of the game. Even though Rip was ready to go. I mean, foul trouble don't mean anything. The last 3-4 minutes, foul trouble don't mean anything. So at that time, Rip was ready to go. He could put in Rip in the game. He chose not to. So that shows to me that right now, at the moment, he's not confident in Richard Hamilton in that game. You know, I can't speak for the Golden State game because they got blown out, so we don't know. But in that game, it looked like he wasn't confident.
Yeah. It may be just because Rip Hamilton just recently joined the team. But, you know, like I said, any of these assessments that we give on the teams just watching their first one or two games isn't really
– It's premature.
It's premature. It's just us – Just an eye test, you know. Only over time through the 66 game season will we truly be able to know who is who and what is what.
All right, real quick, I had to mention this team, Lob City, man. So what do you think about Lob City? I love the name though. That's the reason why.
I like the name. Chauncey Billups takes too many damn shots. That first game against the Warriors, the guy took what, 19 shots?
Oh my god.
10 of them 3-pointers. I still think you don't want Chauncey Billups chasing around two guards all, you know, for the whole game. So I think they still need to get a true number two, a guy who can defend the two spot. They still need to get some depth at the 4 to 5 position. They need to get some guys that are bang. Because what you don't want to see happen is DeAndre Jordan, because he blocks a lot of shots. Yeah. He has the potential to actually foul out, get a lot of early fouls. So, you know,
8 blocks though.
Yeah, 8 blocks. That was impressive. They do, you know, Chris Paul, like I said, once in a generation point guard, one of the best floor leaders in the game.
Vinny Del Negro.
Vinny Del Negro, you got 1 year, buddy.
Yeah, Vinny Del Negro. What I didn't like is that Chris Bowen had the ball enough to me in that game. He didn't have the ball to do his thing. There was no pick and roll with Chris Paul. There wasn't enough Chris Paul being the maestro out there. That's the thing. Like that needs to change. In that game, Chris Paul didn't do it. Well, not what I saw. What I saw in preseason, Chris Paul was pulling the strings. That was Chris Paul, what we got to see. Against Golden State, they're running plays for Chauncey, doing pick and roll action. Run like that offense will run better when Chris Paul is running it, because it is Chris Paul. We know the best point guard in the NBA.
Yep.
You run offense with Chris Paul. That team, what you saw in the preseason, will come out.
Yep.
So that's the only thing. Lob City needs to be run by Chris Paul, period. Not Chauncey Billups. I do like Chauncey Billups as a guardian, too. I think he can defend. I think Chauncey Billups, to me, has always been a two. He just played point guard. I watched him in Colorado. He's always been a two guard to me.
Yeah,
he's not a playmaker. No, he's not a guy.
He's a guy who can run sets for you.
Exactly.
He's not a playmaker. He's not going to break anyone down off the dribble. But you don't want him necessarily chasing two guards for 30 plus minutes.
Luckily,
at this point in his career.
But luckily, luckily this team is deep.
At the guard position.
Even the guard and three position, because you got Gomes off the bench, which is funny how Gomes is now the backup to Caron Butler. I don't know if you've ever heard of how Calhoun goes off, Jim Calhoun for UConn. Gomes came in and gave UConn the business, and like a reporter had asked him a question about Gomes. He was like, okay, I know you all are mad. I should have recruited Gomes, but I got Caron Butler. You know what I mean? So it's kind of funny, like they're on the same team.
Yeah.
I know. I went off a topic, kind of random.
No.
But still,
you do
it's
that
kind
a
of.
Lot.
I know. It's kind
cool,
of funny.
I'm used
kind
to it now.
Yeah. Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Screw you. but yeah. So. Yeah, it's gonna text. But yeah. Yeah, but it's kind of funny. But
let me ask you this. During the first two games, what players caught your eye so far?
Good question. Oh man.
It was on the notes.
Thank you. All right, good question. I'm a man now. Shoot, I had one. What player caught my eye? I'm gonna say, dang. This shouldn't be that hard because I watch a lot of games on NBA TV. I'm trying to pick one. It's like not even out there.
Not
like,
someone
like,
that's
obvious.
Often, yeah,
you know what I mean?
Obvious pick.
Let me go. I'm gonna go with Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon called my eye. I think Eric Gordon is ready to take that level to be a superstar.
Yeah,
he's ready.
Yeah, just before he got injured last year, a lot of people just thought of him as a scorer. I think now he's at the position where he can actually say, now I'm not just a scorer, but I can actually take my team and win games for my team.
Another player, there was a lot of talk about him in Spain. Ricky Rubio can really pass. I'm not going to be ignorant.
Yeah.
That dude can really pass.
He can really pass.
Like, I see. Like, I'm not. Johnny Flynn, I love you. Like, you are an awesome point guard to me. Out of Syracuse, you bust Georgetown. You know what? You were the man in Syracuse. But I see. Like, I was being ignorant because, you know, overseas players kind of annoy me because I think they
get too much hype.
Over college kid players. But Ricky Rubio is like Jason Williams without the Jason Williams 3-point shot. That dude is going to be special.
Yeah, he's going to be. He's definitely entertaining. I don't know how special he'll be, but the guy definitely will be very entertaining.
But what about for you?
Wow, you caught me off guard with that one.
It's on the notes.
Yeah,
like you said.
It is. I'm going to be Captain Obvious, and I'm going to go with Carmelo Anthony at 17 points in the fourth quarter, Christmas Day at the Garden. It just went to me. It goes to show that New York Knicks basketball is back.
And also, watch out for the Pacers. Paul George and Indiana.
Yeah,
it's going to be a problem.
It's going to be a problem.
But let's go to our local team, the Wizards.
Yeah, let's go to them.
You went to the game.
I went to the game.
You tell me what you thought about the Wizards losing that 21 point lead to the Nets. You tell me about that game.
I'll say this. It was good. And as far as the atmosphere at the game, it was good energy. A lot of Washington fans were very excited to see the Washington Wizards start the season. John Wall in the second season. So you thought, you know, this team had a lot of potential. But I was actually talking to some people who were sitting beside me. They were very excited. They said, you know, this team's got a lot of potential. I was like, what potential do you see outside of John Wall? Then they started going off about Jordan Crawford.
You like Jordan Crawford?
That guy's a volume scorer. That guy has not met a shot that he does
He's
not like.
That wasn't a bad shooting.
Dude, he hasn't met a shot he does not like.
That's what scorers do.
Yeah, okay. I was excited at the beginning of the game. I actually thought, man, this isn't going to be another long season. But as the game continued to progress, I came to realize that this will be another long season. Andre Blatch taking a lot of jump shots.
Okay, I was going to ask you, because I didn't see the game.
Andre Blatch looks still like he's out of shape.
Okay, because I didn't see the game. I looked at the box score, and I looked at the stats, and I was like, okay, Andre Blatch, 13-10. I'm thinking, I look on the side for 3-point shots. He didn't take a three. So I'm thinking to myself, like, he's smarter. But
nah, he took a lot of jump shots, lot of mid-range jump shots. To me, there are only maybe three guys on this team four, who you could actually say are pieces moving forward to this, that the Wizards can build on. That's John Wall, JaVale McGee, Nick Young, and Chris Singleton.
You like JaVale McGee?
He gives you something that you can't easily get, which is size. All right. The guy's 7'3". He could block shots. He's a good shot blocker. He isn't the most aggressive rebounder.
That's my problem.
But, you know, if you want to, the Wizards, as they're constructed, they're a team that wants to get up and run the floor. JaVale McGee, he can run the floor with the best of them.
I'll play this. I wouldn't overpay for JaVale McGee. When it comes to his contract.
I wouldn't
either. JaVale McGee is somebody, a year ago, I thought the same way. But he continues to play dumb to me. He plays a dumb brand of basketball.
Meaning?
Takes shots he shouldn't take. He should know his role. This is JaVale McGee's role. You see, like, Tyson Chandler, he understands his role. Because JaVale McGee should be like a Tyson Chandler.
I totally agree with you. Right? Totally agree.
You don't run sets with Tyson Chandler. If Tyson Chandler touches the ball, he kicks it back out. If he gets a rebound, it's going to be going up straight. He won't take a rebound and try to make some acrobatic shot. Tyson Chandler will kick it back out, reset offense. JaVale McGee will take an acrobatic shot, which is not needed. Mm-hmm. He doesn't rebound well. JaVale McGee should rebound, block shots, tip-ins.
And run the floor.
And run the floor. If you're not working on your offensive game, don't do it on the court. That's all I'm saying. If you're not working on your offensive game, trying to get a 15-foot jump shot consistently or shooting a hook shot, because we can tell if you're working on your game when you shoot a hook shot. We can tell. We're not stupid. Maybe the casual basketball fans can, but I can tell. Like, I know when a person's working on a hook shot and it's supposed to go in. He does not. Now, the thing about it, what's good about JaVale McGee, he does have good touch. So you would think if you practice on your game, you should be able to come up with something like that. But obviously he doesn't. Busy partying at Love or whatever D.C. club is out there nowadays. But, like, he needs to get focused. Or Flip Saunders needs to get in there and tell him, okay, JaVale, this is what you are paid to do. You block shots, you rebound, you finish. And you run the floor, and that's all I need from you.
Yeah, like I've always said, that the team, the Wizards, won't progress as far as they could be potentially with the GM that they have, which is Ernie Grunfeld, and also Flip Saunders is a good guy, very good offensive coach. He isn't exactly what you need for this team at this point.
Hey, and it's evident at the moment. It's a question. You know, you mentioned Andre Blatch. I had a question about something about either or. Could you get rid of both? Blatch and McGee. From your answer, I could tell it's not JaVale.
No, it's not JaVale. It's definitely Andre Blatch. Like I said, you can't coach 7'2", especially that can run the
rebound,
floor.
Rebound, though, kid. Rebound. You should get 10 rebounds off your height alone.
Exactly.
That's all I'm
get
asking
in the weight
for.
Room.
Rebound. Like, both of them. You shouldn't. Like, I saw the stat line. Like, JaVale McGee had 6 boards. Rebound.
Depressing.
The Nets aren't even that big. They out-rebound the Wizards like 58 to 39.
Yeah. Chris Humphries was very aggressive on the boards.
And how tall is he? About 5'9", 5'10", if that?
Nah, 6.
I'm sorry, 6'9", I'm sorry, 6'9", 6'10". Yeah,
maybe 6. Chris Humphries is maybe 6'10".
Yeah.
Maybe 6. Him and Andre Blatch look each other in the eye, so yeah, I say about 6'10". Yeah, Chris Humphries is all rebound is all about determination and will. Look what Dennis Rodman did.
it's just amazing. Like that's what annoyed me. But I agree with the Wizards. I think the Wizards do have pieces with I like Booker. I like Singleton. I like Wall. Of course, we all like Wall. I like Crawford. I like Young. You know, everybody else.
To me, Crawford and Young are the same player.
He's younger. We're going to go that route.
Yeah, but Jordan's Nick Young can create shots for others. Jordan Crawford,
that's something he can learn. But Nick Young wasn't doing that before, though.
You're right.
He wasn't doing that before. I think you could put Nick Young at the three because he's 6'5", 6'6". You can play him at the three. And honestly, in this day of the NBA, the three position is another two. It really is. It's not like it used to be. Like, it used to have the point four. There's not so many LeBron James and Lamar Odom, Carmelo Anthony. They're not that many guys at 6'8". That's 6'8" and bulky at the three position.
Yeah.
Caron Butler is a three. You know what I mean? So, we're about commercial time?
Yeah.
All right, you know, we've been going forever. So, when we get back, we're going to talk about
Wally's team, the Washington Redskins.
The Redskins? Yeah, are we starting with them? Yeah, we're talking about the Redskins and how that loss was actually a good loss, not a bad loss. Right now, there's no such thing as a bad loss. All good losses. Just bad wins. Urban Sports Scene. You know.
Hey, what's up? It's your man Ray Rogers of the Urban Sports Scene. And recently, Will T and I set out on a mission to see what the people think of our show. All right, there's Mike Wilbon right there. Wilbon, what you think of our show, dog?
I should say the next It's the Big Thing.
Oh, that's what's up. That's what's up, man. We feel the same way. Coach Rivers, Doc Rivers. There's Doc Rivers. Go ahead, Will T. Get an interview with him.
Coach Rivers, how do you feel about Ray no longer being the host of the Urban Sports Scene?
I mean, Ray, he was absolutely sensational.
Yeah, I feel the same way, man. I thought I was great as the host, but it's all good. Big ups to my man, Fish. There's Alvin Gentry, man. Coach Gentry, what you think about Fish being the host of the Urban Sports Scene?
I've always been a big fan of his.
Oh, so you're familiar with him before the Urban Sports Scene when he was host of the Mac Fish Show?
So no, I'm not saying that, okay? No.
So what are you saying? Anyway, man, let's move on. There's President Obama. Obama, my man Will T here, he dissed World Cup, man. What you think about him dissing World Cup?
He's a jackass.
Keep it locked to the Urban Sports Scene, because you never know who's listening.
This one's for you and me, living out our dreams.
You can listen to the show. You can listen to us on Applegee's radio show on Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalk.com/Applegee's. Applegee's is spelled APOGEEZS. The show is hosted by Coach Rodney and Vivian.
Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. .com, whatever, man. You know how.
You know, Coach, you know we love them people. We can't mess up their name.
Yeah, you're right.
They miss you, dog.
Yeah, I've been busy, man. You know, I just got my grade. So, you know.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk about that later. Behind the scenes. Yeah, we'll do that in front of y'all.
Yeah.
As we teased earlier, your Redskins, they lost to the Minnesota Vikings 23-16.
Yes.
Adrian Peterson looks like he tore his ACL and MCL, so he's going to be out for a while.
Yes.
Probably till next September.
He should miss more.
Yeah.
They deal with it right. He should miss more. He's the franchise. Yeah. Wait till he's 100 when he's really 100%. If I had to let him sit out for two seasons, I'd do two seasons. I want to make sure he's 100% when he comes back.
Yeah, especially with the amount of money you're paying him, like 7 years, 96 months.
And the way he runs.
96 million, yeah.
And the way he runs.
Redskin fan, good or bad loss?
Great loss.
Great loss.
I'm ecstatic, honestly, because after beating the Giants and going to the Minnesota game, I was depressed. Because I was thinking, Minnesota sucks, and we can actually win this game, which would give us 6 wins. And then going to the Eagles game, 6-10 is kind of iffy to get RG3. Now, we got 5 wins.
Yeah, I guess
we're 5-10.
Mm-hmm.
Going to the Eagles game, I'm kind of ecstatic. Michael Vick didn't get hurt. LeSean McCoy got dinged up, but he's good.
Yeah, he's going to play.
The Eagles will have all their bullets. I'm seeing 5-11. Kind of boosted. RG3, yeah. That means like the fifth, sixth spot.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Well, I guess we won't have to debate anymore about Eric Barkley at RG3 because, you know, as most of the public knows, most of our listeners probably know, Eric Barkley earlier last week, late last week, declared that he was coming back for a senior year.
Legend loser.
Well, he'll be up there as one of the number one picks when he comes out.
I'll play Landry Jones, and we'll see. Landry Jones, Stan. I'm sure Landry Jones will probably stay. I'll play Landry Jones, and we'll see. That's all I'm going to say. Like, I'm pissed. Well, actually, I'm just pissed at Mike.
Well, actually, want to retract, because actually RG3 hasn't declared yet.
I know.
For the draft.
I want to say this. RG3, listen to me. I'm gonna tweet you about this because you are on Twitter. I'm gonna tweet you. If you don't declare, I mean this. If you don't declare, I'm going to hate black people. I'm going to give up chicken, and I love fried. I love chicken. Believe me, I'm black. I love chicken. I will give up chicken, and I will disown black people. I'll go to work on time. All right, I will. There were so many things I will do that's not pro black. Please become a Washington Redskin. I listen to NWA. I'm black. Don't get twisted. I listen to NWA, Tupac, everything. If you don't, and I like Jeezy. If you don't enter the draft and become a Washington Redskin, I'm giving up black stuff. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, actually, an interesting rumor.
Listen, country.
An interesting rumor that I actually heard last week was that if, in fact, the St. Louis Rams get the number one pick and the Indianapolis Colts get the second pick, that the Redskins, Mike Shanahan specifically, is looking to put together a package that's built around the current number one pick and future number one picks and later round picks to move up to get Andrew Luck. So, let's say you guys are you guys get the number five pick this year, and St. Louis actually gets the number one pick and Indianapolis gets the number two pick. Which one would you feel, as a fan, would you feel more comfortable with?
Right.
Mortgaging the future for Andrew Luck, or possibly, well, any way you put it, because I don't really think RG3, if he declares, will be available at the number five pick.
He will.
I don't think so.
I can do the math for you. He will.
I don't think so.
Why are you saying you don't think so?
All right.
Who's going to be in front of us? The people that think he won't.
Minnesota.
They love Christian Ponder. They do. They love Christian Ponder.
The Bucks.
The Bucks won't be. The Bucks aren't ahead of us. They're below us.
The Browns.
The Browns will have McCoy. They love McCoy.
Yeah, okay.
No, they like McCoy. No, yeah, they like McCoy more. The only player, be honest with you, the only player that will get consideration over Art was like two players for them. Was even Matt Barkley and Luck. They're not going to go up for him. They're not going to get Barkley. They're not going to get, what's the name for it? They invest a lot in what's the name. Now, I don't get wrong. Cleveland is interesting.
Cleveland is definitely interesting.
It's interesting, but they want not for a what's the name. We got to think about it. Think about it this way.
All right, well, let me ask you this.
Aaron Rodgers dropped all the way to 20th pick, dog.
Yeah.
I'm just be real. It's not like there are quarterbacks. I like, believe me, I love RG3, but there are quarterbacks who came out that had better pedigree and they slipped. Brady Quinn slipped to the second round.
You're right. But it'll be interesting to see how this last week of the season plays out.
You was asking me a question before that, though. You was talking about the package. I don't want
to. Yeah, no, yeah.
You're talking about, like, would it be better for the Redskins, too?
Who would you rather? Because either way, if the Redskins had to mortgage their future to get one of the quarterbacks, would you rather them mortgage the future with multiple number one picks to move up to get Andrew Luck, or would you rather them mortgage the future with
just a regular pick?
With, you know, maybe a couple of extra picks in this draft to move up and get RG3.
Well, I'll say this much: I'm not trading down, period, to get any of them. I'm not trading up, up to get any of them.
Okay.
And if they fall to me, they fall to me.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't, I'm trading back, and I'm getting better players on the offensive side of the ball.
I think if that happens, that there will be an uproar of mammoth portion from Redskins fans
in this
area.
Trying to build
this thing
correctly, man.
And it would be the right thing to build it correctly. But just because Redskins fans are so frustrated with not having a guy who they can label as their franchise quarterback, and with the play of Rex Grossman, that you will see an uproar. But on the bright side, you guys still have John Beck.
Yeah, it's a joke. But I'm confident RG3 will be out there. And you know what? You can always trade. If push comes to shove, you can always trade the Patriots to try to get Ryan Mallett, off their bench, and you won't have to give a first round pick.
Yeah,
you won't have to.
Well, enough with us playing fantasy GM. The game, like I said, you guys lost 23. What was it, 23-16? If I'm not mistaken,
I barely watched the game.
I know that Joe, that even with Adrian Peterson and Christian Pardon both being knocked out of the game.
The game.
Joe Webb
Great guy.
Yeah, he came 4 or 5.
Okay, you're not going to get me, all right, one thing. You're not going to get me bad mouth in Minnesota Vikings. They did me a favor. Let's just be real. Like, you're not going to get me like that. Right. I'm happy. Joe Webb, thank you. Like, honestly, you have to understand, I am grateful. I'm not salty, so anything you say negative about the Redskins, like on that note, I don't care.
No, but the one bright spot for you guys for the game, Evan Royster.
Great guy, man.
Turned in a very good game. What, 120 yards?
130. I think 132.
130. I want to give him his credit. 130 yards, 20-plus carries.
Yeah.
Very impressive. You guys, the Redskins look like they have a potential dynamic combination with Roy Helu and Evan Royster going into next season. So, you know, for one position,
you're straight.
The running back position, which, you know, we all know Mike Shanahan knows how to draft for that position. So, looks like for the long run, you guys will be straight for that position. Before we came on the air, we actually heard about the third running back that's in that stable, Ryan Terrain. He was actually cut today.
Sorry, man. Lost his job still. I've been asking for this for years. For like the last couple of years. I mean, I've been asking for this, honestly, during training camp. Really wasn't impressed with them last year when everybody was impressed with them. This was something that had to happen. Once the Redskins drafted Royster,
mm-hmm.
like I knew Royster because due to the fact that I watch Michigan football, I'm Big Ten, and that kid has always impressed me. It's one thing you can't teach in the NFL, teach a football player is success and how skilled you are when you are the man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And in Penn State, he was the man. He was the all-time leader rusher. He was the man in Penn State, and he can see holes.
Penetration
state, correctly, and he can see holes. Penetration. And
Jerry Sandusky saw holes too.
Exactly. Oh, it's disgusting. But you know, and his vision was always good. And he wasn't the type of running back like a Barry Sanders or, you know, or a Chris Johnson who can break it all the way, who was a home run guy.
LeSean McCoy.
LeSean McCoy. Yeah. He always was methodical in Penn State. Got 5 yards, 5 yards here, 5 yards there, and always drove the pile. So when I saw him, I was like, this is a running back. This is a real running back. Mm-hmm. This isn't a system running back. This is a real running back. So once they got him and we saw how good Lou was, I always looked at it like, all right, it's just a matter of, just call this guy off the practice squad, play the dude. We saw Ingram preseason look good. Ron Terrain was living off last year. It was time for him to go, yeah. And he's gone. Go back to Arizona. Go check.
Yeah, well. You know, from Ryan Terrain, we're going to go into our picks. He wasn't the Redskins pick at running back, but our picks. You know, anyone who listens to the show knows that over the NFL season, we picked about 4 or 5 games.
Usually 4. Today's special.
Yeah, today's special. We're going to go with 5. The records, Wally, you are 13-23.
That's how Rap came back after that last year.
Ray is also tied with you in the cellar at 13-23. This one guy is above 4 games above 500. Actually, if you listen to this guy and bet it with him, 2 things will happen for you. Mm-hmm. 1, you would have cash and you wouldn't be in credit card debt for your Christmas gifts. And 2, your kids' college fund would be properly funded because that money that you got from those bets, you could have put them there. But I'm actually 20-16 on the season. You can check our records out on our blog site, www.urbansportscene.blogspot.com.
Oh, you did a good job, though.
Yeah.
You're the man now.
We had, like I said, we had 5 games we're going to pick this week.
Ray texted me his pick, so we got
okay.
We in line.
The first game, Jets versus Miami.
I'm going to go with Miami. Ray's going with Miami.
And I'm going to go with the Jets.
Okay.
Kansas City versus Denver.
Ray has Kansas City. I'm going Kansas City. I'm not pro-teed about
it. Well, it's a sweep. KC, Kyle Orton will come back and seek and get his revenge.
On the road. Yep. On the road. Do it, boy.
Baltimore versus Cincy.
Oh, Cincy. Ray's really? Cincy, too. Yeah,
it's I'm going with Baltimore.
Okay.
San Diego versus Oakland.
I'm going to go Oakland.
I'm going to go the ghost of Al Davis comes and inspires Oakland, and Oakland grabs a playoff spot. Oakland.
Ray as well goes with Oakland.
Our last game, the doozy for the NFC East, Dallas Cowboys versus New York Giants, Sunday at 8:20 p.m.
I'm going to go with the Giants. Ray's going with the Giants as well.
I'm going with the Giants, too.
Full sweep. Okay. So those are our picks. Well, let's explain some of the picks because, you know, they all have playoff implications.
Yeah, all those games. Wally did a good job of picking five games that had playoff implications. So.
We'll start with the Miami. The reason why, you know, I think that Miami will beat the Jets and knocking them out of the playoffs. I don't think Jets gonna make the playoffs. Miami has played good ball of late. Mm-hmm. They got the corners back. Avante Davis, I think, Sean Smith, and you know, the running game. Reggie Bush looks like he back. He's back.
I had him on my fantasy team.
Okay, good mention that. like he's back at USC. Matt Morris played a good game.
He actually ran 4,000 yards this year.
That's good. He reached it. That's good. Good for him. And Marshall.
Brandon Marshall caught. Looking good.
So
yeah, 1,000 yards.
The Jets are in trouble. This is a trouble game for the Jets. And I'm not a Sanchez supporter. I don't believe in him. So I think, you know, this will be where the Jets lose it.
I actually picked the Jets. I think that I actually think that Sanchez. I don't believe in Sanchez. I'm not a huge Sanchez fan. I actually think that he rebounds from that last game. They won't ask him to pass the ball 60 times, which to me is crazy. That guy cannot pass the ball. So he's not an elite quarterback that's going to win a game with you throwing the ball 60 times. The defense will come to play. Plex and Santonio Holmes will give them a lot of trouble out there on the outside.
Well, Sanchez got him the ball. Kansas City. Let's go Kansas City. Kansas City, Denver. I see, like you said, Kyle Orton going back and striking.
Revenge.
Exactly.
And also, not you have the Kyle Orton aspect of it. And you also have the Romeo Crennel. Those guys really want to play for Romeo. They really want Romeo to be their coach next year. So I think those two things combined. And Tebow, a lot of you trust. I don't trust in Tebow. I think he's a good kid. I want to see him successful, but I just don't think they get into the playoffs this year.
I agree with you. This is the game I saw your facial expression. You were like, we picked Cincy. Baltimore and Cincy. This game is on the road. Baltimore doesn't play good on the road. So I don't get the whole thing like Cincy can't beat Baltimore.
Ray Lewis will have those guys amped. Ray Lewis will have everyone ready to run through a wall. Ray Rice will get 100 yards receiving, another 50 yards. I mean, 100 yards rushing, another 50 receiving. And Joe Flacco plays mistake-free football on the road to Cincinnati.
No, he won't play mistake-free football. Cincinnati has traditionally always given the Ravens problems.
Okay.
And this team here, their defense is still the same. That's the one thing about it. Other than Leon Hall being out for the season, which was a devastating loss, this team is still relatively the same. They will put pressure on Flacco. Flacco looked like Flacco. He will. From the first game, that ridiculous non-touchdown that Gresham had that was a touchdown, which they took away from him, mm-hmm. Well, they should have probably, then that would have gave him a tie or gave him the lead, if I remember correctly. This team is ready. Dalton, Gresham, A.J. Green. I don't see any of the corners messing with A.J. Green. And Cedric Benson, for whatever it is, gets 100 yards on the Ravens on a regular, for whatever reason it is. I don't understand, but since he's going to the playoffs. San Diego, Oakland. You talk about Al Davis.
Al Davis comes back, inspires the Oakland Raiders. Carson Palmer decides not to throw any interceptions this game. Michael Bush just bulldozes his way through San Diego's defense.
Did McFadden come back?
McFadden, no. They say he's not going to come back until he's 100%.
Got you.
And actually, this will be the last game for North Turner as a head coach in the NFL.
I agree with you. Oakland, I agree with you 10 times. Carson Palmer, I know you Oakland fans are thinking to yourselves like, damn, why, Jason? Why'd you get hurt? Jason Campbell was your leader. And now look at from what you were and look at you now fighting to win that division, knowing that you beat some good teams and you lost to Tim Tebow. Without Jason Campbell, we lost.
Yeah,
to the Chiefs.
I don't think you know, even though Jason Campbell, we can't all say it's all Jason Campbell. Darren McFadden, when he went out, the guy, you know, he brings a whole different dynamic to their running game.
And that's the truth, but you know, Michael Bush has been doing pretty well.
Yeah,
but
Michael
right,
Bush
though,
has played pretty
you're
good.
You're right, but you won't get those consistent three interception games with Jason Campbell. We can
absolutely
agree that.
Yeah, we both agree on that. Yeah. Something else we agree. That's two times.
I know it's rare. Usually we do agree, but of late we haven't. That's good though. If Ray would say, you know, Ray would say that's a good thing.
Dallas versus the Giants. Everyone picked the Giants. I just think that Tom Coughlin will inspire. Tom Coughlin will outcoach Jason Garrett. The run game this past game against the Jets. So it's starting to come around. So it has the potential to go in and put up big yards. big yards on the ground against the Dallas Cowboys. And also, Dallas secondary doesn't seem to have a clue to play Rex Ryan. Rob Ryan's defense.
It's atrocious.
Yeah, they just don't have the guys back there on that back four to play that defense.
And he plays everybody. It's atrocious. I agree with you. Dallas will lose that game. I'm not being biased because I'm a Redskins fan. I hate the Cowboys. It might seem like it. It's Romo, though. I mean, it's Romo.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he got to be his hand is swollen, but it's Romo.
Yeah.
You know, it's Romo, and now I'm thinking, like, it's Jason Garrett, too. Like, they just have it. And I mean it. They have an it to lose a game.
Absolutely.
They know how to lose.
Yeah.
Time out to ice your own kicker. You know what I mean? Throw an interception when you're up. And, you know, when you're up and you have to play conservative, throw an interception around your territory so the other team could kind of score to tie it up. It's Romo and it's Jason Garrett.
Enough said with that one.
So that's how I look at it.
Last night was a historical performance by Drew Brees. Last night he set the single season passing record for a quarterback, surpassing Dan Marino's 26 year record of 5,084 yards. As they rolled over the Atlanta Falcons in the final Monday night game of the season.
I wish Ray was here to hear that. That's messed up.
I'm just telling the truth. I'm just telling the truth.
Ray.
If I'm saying anything that's a lie. Ray, you know, Ray, you'll be here next time, next week, and you'll have your opportunity. But they rolled over the Falcons.
Go ahead.
Drew Brees, he set he broke a record that's been standing for 26 years. Yeah. One of the more impressive records.
It's easier nowadays to break
it. Yeah, it is easier nowadays to break it. Aaron Rodgers seems like he's pegged to be the MVP. A lot of people are coming out and saying, oh, wait a minute, let's not give it to Aaron Rodgers so quickly. Drew Brees set this record.
He should get it.
Who?
Drew Brees should get it.
You think so?
Yeah, I think Aaron Rodgers, it's like the Heisman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is like the first time I've honestly said, like, the MVP has been like the Heisman. Like, Aaron Rodgers was giving it after preseason and, like, 3 weeks into the season.
I can't say
Yes, he was.
He earned it. Those first ten,
I'm
the
not
first
saying
ten,
he, wasn't
he played.
Good.
The, he played the
but
quarterback
Drew
position.
Played the same way, like Drew Brees played the same way. It's amazing. Like he's been pegged. If you listen to, like, I don't know about you, but when you listen to every Packers game,
mm-hmm.
like them commentators seem kind of, you know, gay. Call it with joy, whatever you want to call it. Like, they do. They're extra gay. It's like, oh, Aaron Rodgers, he throws the best deep ball ever. He throws it in stride. He's just the best quarterback ever. Aaron Rodgers this. And I'm doing this voice on purpose. Aaron Rodgers that.
No,
like,
I mean, we both know who you side with.
And I don't like Drew Brees. I don't like him.
Yeah,
like,
Drew Brees, I mean, he's had a record setting year. Yeah. He's going to break his own record for a completion percentage, 71.5%. 71%
of
your
passes. It's impressive, dude. That's
impressive. And then to break the
Dan Marino's record.
Record.
Who he's not better than. That's great. He's now on Dan Marino's level. But this is an impressive record. Like, I agree with you. But, like,
like everyone says, football is the ultimate team game. The Packers are they're 14-1 now. So
it's impressive.
It's impressive. So the kudos is going to go to the quarterback.
Yeah.
There's power in that team. That's why I think Aaron Rodgers wins it out. If we're going to look at the whole duration of the season, then definitely Drew Brees has a very valid argument to be the MVP, if not for it to be co-MVP of the league.
But who's playing? I mean, who's playing quarterback at a higher level? That's what goes back to that.
It goes back to that. But like I said, it's an ultimate team game, so people are going to whatever team is the most successful.
If you took away, this is my thing, if you took away the whole aspect of how people let's just say there's no Drew Brees. But like, let's not say no Drew Brees. Take it back. Say that we don't know these guys' names at the moment.
And just look at the stats.
Look at the stats. And then we'll say, like, okay, how people talk about how people talk about Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees, you would think that Aaron Rodgers is the one breaking the records. That's my point. You would think it's Aaron Rodgers who broke Dan Marino's record.
I think a lot of it goes back to the point that last year Aaron Rodgers and the Packers won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are putting away in that, you know, every week they're going to get the best from everybody.
Okay.
The X's on their head. So a lot of people are taking into their performance from last postseason and the later part of last regular season through this season, and that's why a lot of people are saying Aaron Rodgers for MVP. But if Drew Brees doesn't win the MVP, he's definitely the NFL Offensive Player of the Year.
I agree.
Having said that, let's make our predictions on who for the awards for the season this year. Rookie of the Year, offense.
Oh, so Killer Cam.
You go ahead in the arguments here. Yeah. A lot of people saying Andy Dalton.
Killer Cam breaking records. And Dalton, I like Dalton, don't get me wrong. I thought that Dalton would be a good NFL quarterback, and he's proven me right. But
Andy Dalton has Andy Dalton. Yeah, he has a better team around him.
Well, I'll say this: he has a better defense.
He has a better team.
Cam has some good two good running backs and Stewart and Williams, and he has Steve Smith who is still a soldier.
But yeah, like I said, it goes back to a better team. That defense for Cincinnati is better.
That's the only element that's better than me. I think
offensive line in Cincinnati is better than the offensive line.
Yeah, I think the weapons that he has. In Carolina, there's nothing to play with either.
Yeah.
But that defense is the only reason why Cam ain't winning. I'm sorry, okay. That defense is the only reason why Cam's not winning.
Defensive player of the year. Rookie
of the year?
Mm-hmm. Rookie defensive player of the year.
Is that going to be a homer? I know it's a better player, though, than my man. I'm going Ryan Kerrigan.
You're crazy. I think it's a tie. Alden Smith, linebacker for San Francisco.
No, take that back. Yeah, I'm crazy. Alden Smith.
I'll go with Alden
second,
Smith.
Second, my man, Ryan.
Nah, Kane. I can't even go second. I got to go Von Miller second.
Oh, that's what I meant. I'm sorry. I take that back. That was my pick.
For defense player.
Von Miller's my pick.
I'm going to go with Alden Smith. He's been impressive. That San Francisco D.
Von Miller's Derek Thomas.
Yeah.
That's Derek Thomas.
Absolutely.
God bless his back with Derek Thomas.
Yeah. Defensive player of the year, NFL.
Oh, yeah, that's defensive player of the year. Ooh, that's a hard one for me. Why is that a hard one? And I thought about it. Give me yours first.
A lot of people are going to say I'm crazy for this. Guy doesn't play on the number one defense in the NFL, but he's had a heck of a season. I'm going to go with Jason Babin.
I knew you were going to go. That's about the
18
about
sacks.
Right.
Jason Babin. Very impressed. To me, he's played very good. He hasn't played the best against the run this year, but neither has no one on his team for defense. Jason Babin with his 18. Let me take that back because I'm being a homer.
I'll go with
DeMarcus Ware.
Yeah.
I'll go with DeMarcus Ware.
I feel like I have to be a homer. I don't want
DeMarcus Ware did it all. He played the run, played the pass.
I'm going with my enemy's team. Yeah, I'm going to go with DeMarcus Ware. He was awesome this year.
Man.
And really, if he didn't get hurt, like the player that I actually think that deserves it but won't get it because he got hurt, Patrick Willis is awesome, dog. If he didn't get hurt, the hamstring, he's like the best. And honorable mention, he's not. This is a homer pick. London Fletcher.
Consistently plays at a high level every year.
But that's just and that's just me being a homer. Won't lie to you. Just that he gets it done. To be his age, to play at that level, he gets it done. But for me, my favorite defensive player, I think that impacts a team is Patrick Willis. You can hear DeMarcus.
Patrick Willis is the best linebacker in the game.
We agree, though. But to an agreement, Ware will get it.
Coach of the year,
Marvin Lewis. Marvelous what he had to deal with, losing his starting quarterback, best wide receiver, and to win, to be over 500 and compete and have an opportunity to go to the playoffs with a rookie-laden team, a young-laden team, especially on the offense side of the ball. Gresham in second year, A.J. Green, a rookie, and Andy Dalton. And, you know, and to have that team playing at a high level and have a good chance to make the playoffs, I got to give
Marvin. Actually, I agree. I think he should win it, but the guy who's going to win it is Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, yeah, Jim Harbaugh.
Jim Harbaugh's going to win it just because what he did with San Francisco, that team. I think they won, four or five games last year?
Yeah, to tell you.
Alex Smith as your quarterback.
Yeah, I like Alex Smith. But, I'll say this much, it shows that you can win in the NFL and actually build a culture of winning in your first season. Some people can't do it in two. Oops. Skins fans, listen.
MVP. I think we both know who you have designated as the MVP.
I got Drew Brees as the MVP. That's my MVP. Drew Brees is my MVP. I don't like you, but you my MVP, Drew.
I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers, the guy. He, 12 or 13 plus games with a 110 quarterback rating, over 40 touchdown passes this year. led his team to a 14-1 record.
I don't gotta say Drew Brees stats. It's already said. Yeah. There's a guy out there that I do want to get some credit to. Face the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, Sean McCoy. I was gonna mention him too. Sean McCoy. If the Eagles actually had a won 12 games this year, Sean he would McCoy. Definitely be in the running for some MVP.
Let's
votes.
Not forget about LeSean McCoy.
He definitely had a
great
year.
And Tom Brady. Tom Brady should be forgotten too.
Tom had a definitely good year. Most improved team this year.
Oh, the Niners.
Yeah.
The Niners.
Yeah, we both agree on that.
Yeah, I agree with you. The Niners. Like what you said about Jim Harbaugh. Okay.
And I know who you're going to say, the most disappointing team of the year.
I wrote that on purpose on the notes. The most disappointing team in the NFL this year has to be the Philadelphia Eagles. And really second to that, because only because of the hype, I don't know why they keep getting hyped to be this good, the Dallas Cowboys. And it's not out of hatred. And, you know, yeah. I've rooted for the Eagles to go. I told you, I picked the Eagles to go to the Super Bowl. So it's not because I hate the Eagles or come at anything. But, like, the Eagles disappointed me. Injuries played a part in that. And even and unlucky play, I think, was a part of that as well. But,
yeah. A bounce here, the ball here. A bounce here, the ball. Michael Vick doesn't get injured here. This team easily is 12-4.
If Michael Vick doesn't get hurt, they're 12-4. And even the worst they'll be going to be is 10-6 if Michael Vick doesn't get hurt.
Yeah.
You see how bad these teams are playing in the wild card race. They don't get hurt. You know what I mean? They make the playoffs.
Another team to me that wasn't as disappointing, but to me was a disappointment. San Diego Chargers. I actually thought that this would be the year, especially the way they started out, because they traditionally start off very slow. I was like, this is the year that the San Diego Chargers gets over the hump.
AFC West.
Horrific AFC West.
Tim Tebow has a chance to win a division. I get another team. I know we just listen teams, but you're going to be surprised. The Minnesota Vikings disappointed me. Again, Denny Don McNabb, that defense has always been stout. Of stopping the run.
I definitely give you that.
They were too bad. I can understand being maybe 7-9-ish.
Mm-hmm.
They were too bad, though. They weren't as bad as what people thought. And you having the best running back in the game to me. They were too bad.
All right, man. Before we end the show, let's make a 2012 bold prediction. Any sport, make a bold prediction.
I'm gonna call it a geeking prediction. Because when you say, well, you geeking. I'm going to go with the Hoyas winning the national championship. Georgetown Hoyas winning the national championship.
Well, we play in the same bracket. I mean, we always play for the pick'em for March Madness. Yeah. So, to me, that's really not a surprise. You always pick the Georgetown Hoyas.
Yeah, but these people
getting
to hear me, jerk. They don't hear what I got to say, what I got to pick. I'm not doing any trash talking to pick'ems either. I'm going to be good this year.
Oh, okay. my bold prediction, despite him going to jail on January 6th, Manny Pacquiao fights Floyd Mayweather in December, and Floyd Mayweather knocks out Manny Pacquiao to unify.
Knocks
him out.
Man, well, you geeking as a bug.
Knocks out Manny Pacquiao to unify the welterweight titles, man. But, yeah.
That was a good long show, but let me give him a little call-out stuff. To listen to the show, visit www.walio.podbeam.com. We're on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. If you just search the Urban Sports Scene. If you have any questions, comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. Will already mentioned the shows we're usually on, Apple G's and the Sports Crib. Catch us on there. Apple G's on Sundays, and the Sports Crib is on Thursdays, both at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. So check us out. We'll be there representing. And don't forget, and also next week, we'll be talking about the BCS bowl games. We didn't get an opportunity to talk about it this week, but next week we'll talk about it. We'll do that more as
in-depth analysis.
Yeah, and recapping it. You know, there's no need to talk about before. It's just recapping.
Yeah, just recap it.
To
our listeners, if you're still with us listening to the show, we wish you a happy New Year's, happy holidays.
Yeah,
we want to thank you for your support.
Yeah, I ain't say Merry Christmas too. I know it's late, but yeah, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, thank you for your support. This year has been a great year for the show and also us personally. We look forward to 2012 taking the next step. Like I already told you, we're running off the competition off of the local airwaves. So, you know, Urban Sports Scene, we're starting to get our name popping. Just stick with us. We're going to be there. We slowly making our progression to the top. We're going to be there. You know, we're not going to say it's 2012, 2013, but
we'll
just stick
there.
Around, man. We're definitely on the rise. We're definitely on the rise.
You hit a name.
Yeah.
All right. We out.
Peace.
Show goes on.